Our study tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 19, understanding God's practical use of carnal divisions. A breakdown in the fellowship in the form of divisions in a group of God's people is a product of carnality where believers are living by means of their sinful natures. The Apostle Paul mentioned this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll remember, in verse 10. Where he said, "Now I beseech your brethren by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." And why were they divisive? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, I could not speak unto you as to spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are you yet able, for you are carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" The word men is anthropoi, means unsaved men. So this problem can occur in today's church. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 19 instructs us on how God uses this unhappy circumstance in a very practical way for the benefit of the body. We study this passage for our edification. I want to read their verses, and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I do not praise you, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it, for there must also be divisions or heresies or factions among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." In this section in 1 Corinthians, beginning verse 17 of chapter 11, Paul began a section in which he addresses abuses that were occurring in the church at Corinth regarding the observance of the Lord's table. To that end, he began by reporting that he had heard how the gathering of the body to observe this ordinance did not edify due to the presence of divisions. The Greek term for this word is schisma, divisions or dissensions. Though this claim was a matter of hearsay for Paul, he partly believed it even though it was hearsay because of a spiritual principle that exists in Christ's oversight of the local church. And Paul explained this principle in 1 Corinthians 11:19. Actually, I wished when I was a new Christian that this principle had been explained to me. It would made a lot of sense to a lot of the challenges that I saw over the years, and even as a pastor. When Paul wrote the word must in verse 19, where there must be, he used the Greek term day, which here refers to divine destiny. Now, it can refer to it must occur in a general sense, but it's of destiny. God divinely destines it. Now, he allows it. He doesn't create it, but he allows it because of certain circumstances within the church. So God had ordained in this case to let heresy, that's what King James calls it, exist amongst Corinthians. The Greek term behind heresies actually is hereses, which means sects or factions. We use the term heresy only in the negative sense of being a person being a heretic, that is, he's teaching errant doctrine. But originally it was the word for a faction or a sect or a group that was separatistic within itself. Now the reason for this divine permission of such apparently unedifying divisions is given in the latter parts of verse 19, namely, that those who were approved might become manifest in their midst. This approved status recurs to those whom God approves. Dr. Ivory puts this in his footnote. So God allows divisions to occur in a church so that those whom God approves become manifest. Now, what in the world is going on? Let's clarify this. Paul was writing this epistle to a church that was carnal. That's a state where believers live by means of their sinful natures rather than depending on the Holy Spirit to live righteously. I mentioned this when I quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 at the beginning of the service tonight. Paul says, I have to refer to you as babes in Christ, you're carnal. Instead of me being able to give you mature truth, I have to go back to the basics because there are divisions amongst you. Consequently, a lot of the Corinthian believers were stunted in their spiritual growth. being still babes in Christ. We read that in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. To where they were susceptible to following as credible other carnal believers who were presenting themselves to be spiritual in false spirituality, where such folk were actually even opposing the Apostle Paul's godly ministry. If we look ahead to 1 Corinthians, or look back rather, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3, notice what Paul was writing. He says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are you in the Lord. And my answer to them that do examine me is this." So there were people who were examining Paul. They were questioning Paul's apostleship. And of course, a lot of these people, they would have been leading in the church. And you've got weak Christians who are following the wrong leaders. Well, that is contrary to what Christ wants to do in the church. He doesn't want his people following the wrong kind of leaders. And sometimes these wrong kind of leaders, they present themselves as being super spiritual, and they're not spiritual at all. I've heard of situations where there are people who have been evangelists who later on went into terrible sin. Or actually, I heard one of a case of an evangelist who had been preaching for many years, and then finally he accepted Christ as his own Savior. So he was involved in this ministry. He wasn't even a believer. Sometimes you'll find, sadly, there are ministers that get up in the pulpit. They're not even believers, and they're preaching away. So this creates a problem with God's people. So God has to deal with the fact that weak people are following the wrong persons. Now, this state of carnal babes following carnal leaders produced a blockage to spiritual growth in the church. So to correct the state, God in wisdom let believers who operated by their sinful natures function with such unbridled freedom that the ugly schismatic characteristics of their carnal natures would surface before everybody, exposing them to be carnal in front of everybody else in the church, even to the immature. It's interesting, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, these characteristics of the sin nature pop up. Notice verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh," the word flesh here is a euphemism for the sin nature, "are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, outbursts of anger, strife, seditions, heresies," that's the word sects or factions, "envies, murders," and so forth, and the such like, Paul says. So those are characteristics of the sin nature, and what happens is God allows those who are the wrong kinds of leaders who are getting this following to have their old sin natures function in an unbridled manner, so that the ugly, seamy underbelly of their sin natures comes to the fore and people recognize that. That's not what good leaders are supposed to be like. Well, with this exposure of true carnality in front of everybody, even the immature are able to discern the spiritual vacuum in the self-promoting spiritual leaders. So even they would turn from such carnal leaders to heed the truly spiritual who exhibited the fruit of the Spirit, seen in their actions, exhibiting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the characteristics of Galatians 5, 22 to 23. So, this divine work to allow the carnal free rein temporarily for the insight and spiritual protection of the weak is, of course, the exception to the rule. For God much prefers all believers to rely on the Holy Spirit and grow in the Lord. But in cases of widespread spiritual weakness and carnality, God at times allows for an unrestrained expression of carnal natures to exist to expose the carnal as being truly carnal before all, for the protection and edification of even the immature in the local church body. See, what happens is then when that comes to the fore, that even the immature can see who they shouldn't be following as far as an example and who they should. Because there's this evidence, this sin nature pops up, and oof, and it comes to the full fore. So, the lesson is, if we either witness or if we face divisions in a group of God's people, May we first examine ourselves in light of God's word to see if we are out of fellowship with the Lord and confess our sin to be restored to fellowship with the Lord. Now, if we note that another party has become exposed by the Lord as living in his sinful nature, may we lovingly pray for that party's repentance, but take this exposure as a warning from the Lord not to follow that party in our Christian walk, but to heed the examples of others proven to walk with the Lord. So, though each believer should rely on the Holy Spirit and fellowship with others, if we see divisions occur in a body, may we realize God is letting them occur to expose spiritual realities that we may adjust accordingly. When I was a student at Dallas Seminary, we were in a class of where we were learning how to preach, and it was a homiletic class and preaching class. And one of the students had to preach a senior sermon in our class. And I'll never forget, he gave a tremendous illustration. He had come to know the Lord as a Savior, and he was in a church where there was a pastor, and a man who was a dear man of God. I think he might have even had his doctorate and so forth. But there arose a contention where there was a man in the church had a real problem with the pastor. And the pastor just sought to continue to minister. Well, things got so rough that while the pastor actually was preaching, this man got angry at him, came up and slugged him right in the pew, right in the pulpit as the pastor was preaching. And the pastor, you know, kind of recovered, and he just went on and kept preaching because the Lord had called him to preach. And there were some other deacons that came up and got a hold of this man and ushered him out. But that was a great revelation to this seminary student when he was still a young believer, because he saw that this man was still, the man who had come up and punched the pastor was certainly out of line. That's not the way to handle a conflict. That was a sin nature, obviously. And he could see that. And he saw by the pastor's response, the pastor didn't come back and slug him or anything like that. He just tried to deal with the blow and continued to do what God had called him to do and to preach, and just kept on preaching. And he got more respect for his pastor at that point because he recognized he was really trying to do the will of God. He was a man of God, where the other man was operating by his sin nature. And that became really obvious to him. And I'll never forget, he used this as an illustration in his sermon, and that was a turning point in his life so he could go ahead and walk with the Lord. You know, as I look back over my own life, whether I've been in the churches where I've been a pastor or been in other churches before I was a pastor and so forth, I've seen divisions occur, and they're always painful. But I've noticed afterwards that they've always been productive because they were eye-openers. You got to see some spiritual realities. And those eye-openers actually worked in the long run to be protective of the body. Now, often there were divisions and, you know, people would leave and so forth, but nevertheless it protected the testimony of the church. So God allows things sometimes to come to a head. And I've seen this even as a pastor, where it's like a snowball going down the mountainside and it's creating an avalanche and you can't stop it no matter what you do. It just keeps going and going. The snowball keeps getting bigger and bigger. But that's obviously allowed of the Lord, because the Lord could stop something like that. But he allows it to occur because he wants to reveal things to people so that the church can see where the realities are and it can make the adjustments that it needs to make for the protection, especially of the weak. And I've been in church situations where if you have a lot of weak Christians or immature believers, often this type of thing will happen a lot, simply because those believers need to learn some things. They need to see realities because they're very often very easily deceived and misled. So it is painful, and this is the exception to the norm. God normally wants us to be fellowshipping with one another and walking with the Lord, and we're all fitting in within the little niche that God has for us. But there are times when things get so out of balance that the Lord will allow a shakeup to occur, because it's in the best interest of the edification of the body. So these things occurred that they which are proved may be made manifest among you. And So what we should do is not get discouraged, not get wiped out by it, but try to learn the lesson that God has for us so that we can go forward.